Old Benjamin Franklin is quoted as saying, "An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure." Today, we're following up on the topic that we first brought up back in August during episode 14 in regards to student loans.
Mm-hmm.
And that time, we were providing some timely updates on the grace period, loan forgiveness, repayment plans, and refinancing. Actually, since then, the grace period has been extended to January of 2022. So make plans for that and get ready for our top 10 ways to steer clear of student loans. Hey, welcome to the Talking Sense podcast. I'm Mark Osorio.
And I'm Teresa Arago. We're financial advisors. And if there's one thing we understand, it's that money can be confusing.
So get ready because we're breaking down what you don't know about money today on the Talking Sense podcast.
I love the way you said that, by the way, Mark. That was like steer clear of student loans. Very dramatic. Yes. Yeah, so last time when we were talking on episode 14, and if you didn't listen to that and you've got student loans already, if you're already there, go back and listen to that episode because there's some great tips for getting those paid off early or finding forgiveness programs, getting different payment plans in there. But go back if you've already got them. But if you're not there yet, we want to try to help you avoid it. And we're going to start with some facts first. Mark, you did some research on this, and I noticed you put here that, you know, for us, we're not big fans of debt.
Definitely not.
Most people aren't. And those that have student loans are most definitely not fans of debt.
Yes.
Because you hear that all the time. Like, I get out of school and I've got more debt than my income can even offset.
Right, right. And I mean, I speak from experience on that. So yeah, no one likes student loans. So if you're considering getting a degree, and we want to give you some tips, 10 tips on how to steer clear of that. But first, I mean, just think about it. The total student debt out there right now is about $1.7
trillion. That was with a T. Dollars. Trillion. That's insane. And that's $739 billion more than the total U.S. credit card debt. So if you took everybody that owns a credit card and has mm-hmm. a balance and added it together, there's still more debt when you look at student loans. Yeah. And that's insane. And of course, nobody wants to have student loans. Sometimes you're going to have to, but there are ways to help yourself avoid or mitigate some of your need for student loans. And the first one is one of those that probably everybody knows, but they probably don't realize the impact.
Yes, I know I didn't whenever I was in high school.
And this is a conversation I am having with my son who just got into ninth grade.
Yeah.
Get good grades.
Yes.
Almost every school, their best scholarships are offered for academics.
Yes.
And so if you have good grades, your chances of getting one of those really good full ride scholarships are much higher. I was able to, my parents, when we were young, I've joked before about we were so poor we couldn't afford the R, we were just po. Okay. So I knew if I wanted to go to college, I was going to have to get some sort of scholarship.
Yeah.
So I worked really hard on my grades and I was able to go full ride to UCA. Now, scholarships were a little bit different back then. Whatever dollar amount you got year one, that's what you got all the way through. So I did end up having to take a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but I was able to pay it off in a year because it was like $2,000.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So please, please, please focus on your grades. If you've got kids, I know it stinks. I'm there with you.
You can relate.
Yes. Look at that hack. Get on there, ride their backsides about their grades because it is so impactful. Even if they want to get an athletic scholarship, they've still got to have grades to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
So that's number one.
That's number one. And I think you covered it very well. So Lucas, you better pay attention.
Yeah. We're open.
All right. So the next one is free housing. Get free housing by becoming an RA or a resident assistant, right? So mm-hmm. These folks are more experienced students. So you could probably be a sophomore or junior or mm-hmm. senior and live in one of the dorms, one of the freshman dorms
mm-hmm.
as an assistant by, you know, just helping make sure that the new students know where to go, just be a resource, right? Mm-hmm. Also, they typically help enforce some of the rules like no alcohol, like, you know, yeah. drugs, that kind of thing.
You are going to have to do a little bit of that, but I think you're right. You get free housing for that for the whole school year as long yeah. as you're serving in that role. And that can be a substantial part of your tuition expenses, especially if you were renting an apartment and you have that as an option. It can really save you a lot of money and avoid some of those expenses. So that's number two. So good yes. grades, look for opportunities to get free housing. What's number three?
Define textbook alternatives, right?
Mm-hmm.
honestly, I'm still just baffled by the cost of textbooks in college, right? So I remember my my textbooks for my freshman year. I was in the biology or chemistry program.
Ooh, the science classes.
Yes, those science classes. So each one of those books was $200-$300. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, overall, it was a huge cost. And it wasn't until, I think, my second or third semester that I found out about these hacks of getting, for example, finding the previous editions of, you know, the textbooks. Mm-hmm. Right? So these textbook authors or publishers are just in the business of making money, right? So they're just going to tweak a few things,
reorder the
book and put out a new edition and call it, you know, brand new. So
I would imagine that requires a little bit more effort on your part, though, to keep up with the curriculum, because I imagine the teacher is going to work around whatever edition they're working out of. So just know you're probably going to have to do a little bit of sorting mentally to know, okay, this chapter is actually this one in the book that I have. And something I didn't know existed until my niece was going to college is that you can rent books. Mm-hmm. She rented hers from Amazon and was able to have ebooks that she rented. It was so cost effective.
Yeah.
And so whereas her books could have been $600-$700, she paid like $250.
Yeah.
Which still kind of hurt, but it wasn't as bad.
Yeah. And I was going to say, side note, that's how I learned about Amazon and wish I would have, you know, bought some stock back in those days.
Yes.
I've done pretty well.
Yes. So one thing we were discussing previously to the show is one of the things you had on here was to take AP and concurrent courses. I took AP courses in high school. It was all that was offered at my school at the time. And the thing that stunk about it was that you work your backside off all year long.
Yeah.
And there is one test that determines whether you get college credit or not. And so you could put out all this effort, pay for the test, and just miss it by a mark. And for me, that was my history class, because we didn't quite make it to the 60s my AP history class. And that's what they were talking about. I literally wrote my entire little answer based on the Brady Bunch. It was the best I could come up with. I thought they were maybe in the 60s or 70s at the time. And I was like, it was something about social, cultural stuff, and totally made it up. Did not get the points, just for the record.
Oh, man.
But concurrent courses now are offered in many schools. And the thing that's really awesome about those is they usually only cost them around $60 per class. And you can actually earn your associate's degree before you even start college. So, you know, a lot of people, when they get to college, one of my big complaints was I'm having to take classes that have nothing to do with my goals.
Yes.
Nothing to do with my career path. Why? Well, you could get those out of the way during high school by double dipping. You do your concurrent courses, get them done, and then when you get to college, you can focus in specifically on what you need to do to finish your degree and save yourself some money. You could start as a sophomore.
Yeah, and what that also allows you is some flexibility because, for example, I took quite a bit of AP and concurrent courses in high school, and by the time that I got to college, I was about almost two semesters ahead. So whenever I ended up switching my major, it didn't hurt me at all. I still graduated in 4 years because I had the flexibility of having already taken a bunch of those courses.
And if you've made those good grades, one thing to know about scholarships is they're usually only good for 4 years. So if you're one of those that's going to try to take your time through college, that scholarship may not stretch as far as you expected. So that's a great one. Also, it's really important if you have a specific
scholarships.
If you have a specific school in mind, make sure that they accept the concurrent credit where you are taking it so you don't put all that money out and find that those classes don't convert.
Yes, great point. So the next point number five here is applying for scholarships and grants early.
Yes, there are a lot of websites to help you find this. I will say, even for me, it feels overwhelming, and I just have a ninth grader. The concept of filling out the FAFSA and doing all of that documentation and then applying for all that, it feels overwhelming. But a lot of people don't realize you can start applying really, really early.
Yeah.
And that can put you at the front end when it's time to have
those
given out.
A lot of them are first come, first served. Right? So, yeah, you want to make sure to apply early.
Before. And there's a lot of places you wouldn't expect them to be. I know a lot of religious organizations have them.
Yes.
I got a booster club scholarship. It was like $100, but it helped pay for my books.
Yeah.
And it was really helpful. Counts. Yes.
So, and I know, for example, the college that I went to, Harding University, they would take scholarships from your church and they would match them.
Oh.
Right? So, for example, you know, my church – provided some scholarship money, and Harding, you know, went ahead and doubled that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, talk to your pastor, you know, talk mm-hmm. to your youth counselor at your church, or, you know, whatever it may be.
And talk to the college you're going to, because they have counselors in their financial aid department that are there to help you make this work. And they're very motivated. They'll give you resources and point you in the right direction. And then you also listed a couple of resources here, websites that people can go to. So let's talk about those a little bit.
Yeah. So it's just a couple of resources. So myscholly.com and scholarships.com, just a couple of great places to be able to go. And you fill out a profile. Mm-hmm. And based on that profile, it tells you all of the different scholarships that you should be eligible for. That way,
would have been amazing when I was getting ready for college.
Oh, wouldn't it?
I didn't know any of this stuff existed, mm-hmm. honestly. I just happened into the Booster Club one because I was playing a bunch of sports in high school. But like, there was no way to kind of go to one spot and get all this information when I was younger.
Yeah. And being able to have, you know, a program that sifts through all of it for you is incredible. So
Go ahead.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, make sure to check out the resources at in our show notes.
Yes, so we're going to recap. Good grades. Look for opportunities to get free housing by being an RA. Look at textbook alternatives when possible. Take AP and concurrent courses. And apply for your scholarships and grants early.
Yeah.
So that's the first five. Let's finish out the last five.
Yeah, so next one is work study. So a lot of universities will have work study programs specifically geared towards folks with lower incomes.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that that's something that I applied for during my freshman and sophomore years. Mm-hmm. It was a huge help.
And I went the approach of working like a dog during the summers. I worked at a water park and I would work
a
bajillion
the same one,
hours. Yeah. Worked a bajillion hours during the summer, built up a savings balance instead of burning it all during the summer, and then would use that throughout the year and just do little side gigs here and there. My mom would pay me to come teach her class Spanish, things like that, to which basically covered my gas to get there and back. But she was trying to test me.
Yeah.
So, yes, don't think that college means you can't work. But also be careful about finding a balance. I will say with my niece, I feel like she really wore herself out trying to work almost a full-time job while in college. So find some balance there too.
It's important.
And then also, it's never too early to start saving. If you've got little people and you're wanting to set them up to win, you can set aside money in a 529 account.
Absolutely.
Those do have some tax advantages if you use the one that's made for your state.
And what is a 529 account?
A 529 is a college savings account. There are a couple of different kinds out there. The 529 does not have an annual limit. So, and anybody in your family can contribute to it. So it's a great tool for that. And you can also use a Roth account. If your child's working, they can have a Roth account.
Mm-hmm.
It won't count towards your FAFSA as income because technically it's a retirement asset, but you do have the ability to pull what you originally put into it back out for their tuition and fees. So that's a little tip that you can use also.
Yep. And also you can also use the education exemption for distributions as well. So just want to consult financial professional just to make sure that that's all in line. Then the next one here is attend a free college, which, believe it or not, those do exist.
I know a student who went to UAMS medical school for free. Wow. And it was simply because he worked really hard. He had really awesome grades, got a wonderful MCAT score. Mm-hmm. If you're one of those that you are in gifted and talented classes and you bust your backside, there's a good chance you could go to a college for free simply because it makes them look good to have students who score well on tests and who have good GPAs and graduate.
Yep.
So sometimes they'll require you to work on campus in exchange, but there are a lot of options out there that if you're working hard, you could have the option to go for free.
Again, we've got a resource in our show notes to provide a list of those free colleges for you. And the next one is attend community college first, right? A lot of people might completely dismiss this option of going to a community college, but actually, especially if you're in Arkansas, that would be a huge, huge mistake.
Yes.
A lot of people don't know about this, and we meet with a lot of people regularly that are asking us, you know, about saving for college, that kind of thing. And I say, well, you know, one of the best things that you can do to save for college is lower the cost of it to begin with.
Yeah.
Right. And so for folks that live in Arkansas, you might not know, but the U of A has the Arkansas Transfer Achievement Scholarship for graduates of 2-year colleges in the U of A system, like Pulaski Tech.
And that's something that for people who are my age, I'm in my low 40s, when we were younger, Pulaski Tech was a little taboo because not everything transferred. Mm-hmm. But U of A took them over several years ago. So everything transfers to any other U of A school.
Yep.
Very clean. So this is a great opportunity if you maybe didn't get quite the grades you wanted to and you want to get a start, you know, at a lower expense. You didn't get the scholarship you want. Start there and then earn that other scholarship with your hard work during their program.
And here's the real important part about that, right, is that the... What they'll allow you to do is they'll allow you to transfer those credits and that two-year degree from community college like Pulaski Tech and transfer that to the U of A. You can finish out your degree in mm-hmm. at the U of A at Pulaski Tech rates.
Oh.
Yes.
That is awesome. I didn't know that one.
Yes.
That's a great tip right there. And then this is my son's backup plan. You had put join ROTC, but the GI Bill in general, if you have a kid mm-hmm. that's even considering military life, if they go and they serve mm-hmm. for 4 years or more, they earn the GI Bill, which yep. means they can go to college for free. My mom actually was a disabled veteran. She'd gotten injured during PT once, and they put her through her school at UCA, and she mm-hmm. became a teacher. And I have several clients. We have a few joint clients that they've got some military experience, and that's allowing them to. But also, if your kid's not sure and they're thinking about it, have them join the ROTC because there are college scholarships Absolutely. For the ROTC program. So that's another way to get some extra funds for your college. So that's our 10 tips for today. Yeah. I will say I want to give my last 2 cents. If you are finishing up your career, you still have other opportunities like working for an employer who provides tuition reimbursement. So if you've already done your college, look into that episode 14 and get in there. Also, check out those websites, the Scholly's List, or is it Scholly List. I misread it.
You're good.
And that scholarship.com. There's yes. a lot of great tools out there for you. Don't let yourself get overwhelmed. Use these tools to help yourself organized.
Yeah. And my last 2 cents would be, you know, don't let the frightening costs of education keep you from getting ahead. Right? It's worth the hard work and you are worth the investment. So that does it for us today. Check out our show notes for resources and tune in next week for our Halloween special where we dig up our favorite slasher films and share how to avoid financial terrors. Till next time, if you make it.
Thanks for listening to the Talking Sense podcast. And if you like what you hear, make sure to subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes.
The Gen Wealth team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com or call our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526.
And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success.
Genwealth Financial Advisors is an Arkansas registered investment advisor with securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC.